Welcome back to Travoltine Presents Easy Riders, hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore.
Cover the Darwin Awards!
Enjoy the episode. I'm fucking done. Folks, I don't want to do this anymore.
Folks,
break me from this cage. I need to die.
Every season of this show.
Slice my throat.
You know, life is about pits and valleys. Ups and downs. It's about gutter balls and strikes.
I'm going to die.
And every season of the show, we hit a valley at some point.
Where's my drink? I need alcohol.
You know, Travolta had two really deep low points. We had to talk about movies like Chains of Gold. And Gotti, which is the masterpiece, obviously. Speed Kills. Brendan, alcohol. You know, we eventually hit the harebrained era.
I'm so fucking done.
You know, tragically, we've entered that for Winona.
I don't want to do this anymore.
With this movie that I can best describe as being shot for $3. This movie does not have a listed budget. Jesus Christ. The Darwin Awards.
Of course it doesn't have a listed budget. It was a student film.
It doesn't have a budget.
What budget?
So, you know, we talked last week about The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things, which is like kind of a precipice movie for Winona. It's shot right around her shoplifting scandal and then comes out many years later due to various scandals involving the creation of the movie itself.
Still not over the bomb you dropped.
The JT Leroy reveal.
That I still need to watch that documentary.
It's true. You should watch it. It's fun. But this is the first movie she makes
fucking
after.
Sucks!
The first movie she makes after the shoplifting scandal. She takes like a 3 to 5 year break. It's like 5 years between movies, but like I think she's actively not working for 3 years.
Okay.
And then this is the first movie she comes back with. Because we talked in our retrospective about how like she's basically being told by her agents to be like, I don't know if you can come back. Like, no one's going to hire you. Even though you have like kind of taken this time to figure yourself out, you're just not going to get hired. She's running into like bad press, also coupled with the fact that she's a woman who's now like well into her 30s.
Yeah.
And in Hollywood, like, especially at this time, that can be a kind of a death sentence for your career, which sucks. And so obviously this movie is like so small and indie that it's really hard to find a lot of information about the making of it necessarily.
How did you watch this movie?
Through means. I watched this movie through means.
Can we tell the audience how we initially tried to watch this movie?
Yeah, so we looked up this movie and it said the only possible way to watch this was to sign up for a subscription service for this website called Stan.
And guess what? I'm getting emails from them and I unsubscribed.
Yeah, so I signed up for this subscription for Stan. And then I click on the movie and press play, and then it's like, actually, Stan is only available if you are an Australian resident. You live in Australia.
Fuck Australia.
And I'm like, so why did you give me the option to sign up with a United States address? Annoying.
Stupid.
So, but sucks. So there were means that we had to go through to watch this movie, which does not really exist.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend watching it. It's not very good.
No, you can go your whole life without ever watching this movie and you'd be all the better for it.
Yeah.
I am not the better for it. I am dead.
So this movie, it's directed by Finn Taylor.
Trial at the Hague.
Trial at the Hague. Who has not really done much. He has written several movies that I've not really heard of. He's directed a few as well. He's just like an honest-to-God indie guy who works in the San Francisco Bay Area rather than with major studios in Hollywood. He just stays in San Francisco and just makes little independent movies.
And
that's probably how Winona came across him, just because she also lived in San Francisco at the time.
And I saw Finn Taylor as a director, and I watched this movie, and my first thought is, oh, this screams like trust fund baby who asked his dad to like fund him money to make a little movie. And he had no knowledge of making a movie. So all he thought he had to do was get some big actors that were desperate. didn't pay for a good camera, didn't pay for a good sound crew, didn't pay for good locations, didn't pay for anything else, probably didn't have catering or trailers or anything like that. And so, but then I find out this guy was fucking 50 years old when he made the movie.
Of age.
He was of age.
Yeah.
Which means like he had to have some idea of what he needed. Like what did he do for the past 30 years of his life?
I mean, he's just like, he's one of those guys who just like in their little, I said, I texted you this when I watched this movie, but I was like, you think I think about it, there's like thousands of movies like this that come out every year.
Yeah.
Thousands of like little indie movies made by guys who just scrape together a little bit of money. This one just happens to come across our path because we're doing a Winona Ryder podcast. But like every month you go on like every movie that was released this month, look it up. You see all these things you've never heard of.
But this movie.
You also go to Eric Roberts' IMDb and also discover a lot of these movies. But
this movie actually has a cast.
It has a big cast.
How?
I'm just going to assume that this. Finn Taylor just like happened to know some people in San Francisco.
Called in a lot of favors.
Called in a lot of favors. And I mean, it's all really small roles. So we only had to have these people for like a day or two.
Yeah. It's Winona and Joseph Fiennes who he has for like the full shoot. Yeah.
Everyone else is there for like a day at max.
Yeah.
But like Winona, you know, she doesn't really have a lot of options. And I'm sure just like this guy being like, hey, you want to be in this movie that I'm making?
She's like, yes.
Yeah, I'll be in your movie.
Yes, please. I've been trying to get in a movie. Thank God I'm getting hired. And then she shows up to this.
Yeah, unfortunately.
She's like, where's my trailer? It's like, you guys get trailers?
Because this movie's based on the concept of the Darwin Awards, which is like awards that are given out every year for the stupidest people preserving like the gene pool for the smart ones.
Yeah.
People who do stupid things.
People who do stupid things.
And it's about Joseph Fiennes as a guy, as a criminologist who's really interested in looking up these Darwin Awards. And
well, can we get into the plot? I mean, plot mode.
Before we get into the plot, I do want to take a moment and shout out one of our most loyal fans. I would like to shout out Lex G on Twitter. Someone who's always liking our posts and retweeting them and hyping up our show. And I just wanted to thank you for doing that. You're really appreciated. And
who's the fan's name?
Lex G.
Lex G.
Twitter.
Lex G. We appreciate you. Yeah. And thank you very much.
Just like a true fan of the show who I really appreciate interacting with on Twitter. So.
We're a very small podcast and still after three seasons, probably will never take off, but we'll see.
We'll see what happens. We do it for fun.
But thank you. And if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry. Don't watch this movie. Please.
Yeah, nobody watch this movie. Please.
Don't watch this movie.
I mean, you could learn how not to make a movie out of it. But
there are better movies to watch that teach that lesson.
Yes.
This serves no purpose. Okay.
The thing about this movie is it does have one incredible joke in it. So
what
I get this movie.
We'll get there.
This movie is 1.5 stars out of 5 for me. It would have been a 1 star if it wasn't for the one incredible joke.
1.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I was going to say 1 out of 10 for me. It's 1 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
1 out of 10.
So yeah, we can start talking about the plot.
Okay. Joseph Fiennes plays a homicide detective.
As one does.
Who is investigating this absurd death of a guy who gets crushed by a vending machine because he stuck his hand in it. His hand got stuck.
Yeah.
He tried to pull it out. Vending machine fell on top of him.
No.
And so he starts investigating this weird death.
Yes.
He starts to suspect there's some foul play. Somebody's behind these weird deaths. Yes.
There's also a bit where he's trying to find a serial killer in San Francisco.
Yes.
Played by Tim Blake Nelson, Who just runs away.
Who shows up. Yeah.
Who he's like, I caught you. And then he's like, no, you didn't. And then he leaves. And that's ultimately the extent of it until we come back to the very end.
Tim Blake Nelson, who our lovely fans know him from the Edward Norton Incredible Hulk, where he turns into the Abomination.
Do you know he's coming back as the fucking Abomination in the next Captain America?
Oh, wait. Tim Blake Nelson does not turn into the Abomination.
He turns into the leader. His head starts getting big and you're like, oh, this will be in the sequel. And then they never did anything with it. 16 years later,
as the leader.
They're so desperate.
They're so desperate.
These new movies are so desperate.
What, who plays the Abomination? What's that guy?
Tim Roth. Who they brought back in the She-Hulk show.
The She-Hulk show, yeah. Who seemingly grew fins out of his
head. Because they were like, we want him to look more at the comic book. I guess we'll just have him grow fins.
Cool. Sure.
Good for you guys. I'm proud of you.
That was a cool fight.
We're making growth.
In the 2008 Incredible
Hulk.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Remember how the end of that was like Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, and they had to make a fucking short film to explain why he did that because it doesn't make
sense. What?
Well, if you he comes in and it seems like he's recruiting.
What is going
the
on?
Hulk.
What is happening?
The pitch of that scene is like Robert Downey Jr. comes in. He goes up to Bill Hurt's General Ross, and he's like,
"Rest in peace,
Rip." And he's like, "I'm putting together a team."
Yeah.
And the general looks at him, and he like kind of gives him a look.
And then it cuts to
the implication there being we want the Hulk to be a part of the Avengers.
Yeah. That Robert Downey Jr. is a hiring entity. Yeah. Said Avengers.
You watch the Avengers. Robert Downey Jr. is not invited to be a part of the Avengers. And the Hulk, they're like, they seek him down at some point.
Yeah, Iron Man 2, it's like, is this because I rejected being a part of your team?
Yeah. They made a short film called The Consultant, where it's like Coulson and some other guy sitting in a diner. And they're like, yeah, we got to deal with this General Ross situation. So we're going to hire Tony Stark to go annoy him so he gets off our backs. And then, like, they plays that scene verbatim, and then it, like, cuts away, and they're like, yeah, and then afterwards, Stark kept annoying him, and then he bought the restaurant and had it demolished. It's, like, one of the laziest things I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. Incredible.
Anyway, enough about the Incredible Hulk, a mid-range superhero movie.
The end fight.
Ang Lee's Hulk, 2003, great movie.
Great movie. Yeah.
I'm your father, Bruce.
Eric Bana?
Yeah, Eric Bana. Bana or Bana? Bana. I'm not entirely sure.
Really good in that role.
He's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Joseph Fiennes is interested.
I don't want to talk about this movie.
I'm gonna speed run this shit.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, boss, give me some money. I can save an insurance. No, he gets fired from the police.
Oh, I didn't know.
So he goes to an insurance company.
I watched this at 1.25 speed, 360p.
He goes to an insurance company, and he's like, I can save you guys a lot of money.
Yeah.
By proving that these are negligence instead of freak accidents.
Yeah.
He gets paired up with Winona, who's like a insurance claim agent.
Yeah.
And she's like sick of his shit already.
Yeah.
They determine that Ty Burrell, who was this, who had his hand in a vending machine and got crushed by it, was actually trying to get candy out of the machine for free instead of paying for it.
Yeah.
And that's why he got crushed. So it is his fault that it happened.
Yeah.
Instead of just the machine falling on him. And Winona's like, wow, you saved us some money. All right. Well, I'll go along with your thing. Let's go investigate some of these cases. They're driving from one place to another. Joseph Fiennes is like, you know, the biggest incident in the world is fat guys slipping in the shower trying to grab the soap. And then there's like this grotesque montage of just like guys falling in the shower.
The fat guys falling in the shower.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this movie? It looks like it was shot on like a cell phone. Every scene is like set in a white office that clearly they just got for free. Yeah. Like someone works there and they're like, yeah, you can shoot on Saturday if you want.
Yeah.
You can come in this office and shoot for a little bit. I want to see a movie. That's the vibe of most scenes of this movie.
They explore more freak deaths.
Yeah, our guy Joseph Fiennes, if he sees blood, he immediately passes out, which gets weaponized against him multiple times.
Yeah.
The next group of guys is like, they come across this guy's like, yeah, my truck fell in the ass. I'm like, what? And then like this ridiculous flashback where he like was putting some shit on the water and put TNT with it, but then his dog grabbed the TNT to play fetch and the dog dropped it at the van and the van blew up and fell in the water.
Yeah.
And they're like, yep, that was his fault. And next thing you know, they're like, wow, you're really saving this insurance company money. Very noble goals, saving the poor insurance company a few dollars.
Yeah.
A lot of like random actors just appear across this point. It's like Juliette Lewis, Kevin Dunn, David Arquette. You're just getting a lot of these people coming up all the while Winona's like starting to like understand Joseph Fiennes' idea.
Yeah.
Like I can't really talk about her performance that much in this because like nobody's good in this.
Nobody is.
Like she and Joseph Fiennes, like they're doing acting, I suppose.
They're doing acting.
But it's clear they don't have any direction, and she's kind of adrift in this movie. Like,
yeah,
she clearly wants to do a good job. She's like doing what is required of actors,
memorizing her lines.
She's memorizing her lines,
finding the light,
yeah, and doing them,
yeah.
But like, she's playing a nothing character.
There,
just like an insurance agent who has to fall in love with Joseph Fiennes. That is her role. That's her character.
Yeah.
At one point, they get into a little fight, and that's about it.
Yeah. When does Joseph Fiennes like bungee tie him up in the shower?
He's like, I'm going to do the safest way to shower so I don't slip. And he like bungee ties himself, but then like he's flipping around 180. like that woman when she was under the helicopter and kept spinning.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
Why?
And she had to come in and like
unbuckle.
Yeah, try and unbuckle him, and she's like trying to grab the buckle on his crotch, and she's like, "I'm very flattered, but this isn't helping right now because he has an erection."
Right.
Like she's funny occasionally. But the script isn't funny and the movie's not funny, so it's hard to laugh.
Yeah. There's a few.
It's
more.
Just like I was really bummed out watching this because I'm like, we've gone through this with Brendan and Travolta. Obviously, it was just like kind of a bummer to see someone who you're invested in like be in stuff like this.
Yeah,
and it's like this is so beneath her talents. Like,
yeah,
she shouldn't have to do like garbage like this.
Yeah.
The next Darwin Award they come across is a guy who strapped a jet engine to his car.
Arquette,
David Arquette strapped a jet engine to his car and then launched it into a mountain where it exploded and killed him.
Yeah. His fault.
He bought it from the Mythbusters guys for some reason.
Yeah, the Mythbusters guys are in this movie.
Yeah, they sell him the jet engine.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, though, if I had the opportunity to strap a jet engine in my car, I'd probably still do it. But you know what? What can I say?
Your little red Saturn.
Looks like. Look, what? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say?
Bang up,
no. What do you want me to say? No,
tear?
I wouldn't.
Would it revert, tear?
I'd strap that shit on. I'd turn it on. I'd crash into the mountain. If I'm going to go, that's how I'm going. I had very scarce notes for this. I wrote this movie does not involve much Darwin awarding. So they figure that one out.
Then it's the concert one.
The concert, which
is a little
is
funny.
Good.
Is a little
it's
funny.
The good bit in this movie.
It's the one good bit.
It's Lucas Haas and his boy who
I don't care.
Judah Friedland?
I don't care.
It's Judah Friedland. They're playing his guy, Simon.
Okay.
They're trying to get into a Metallica concert, but they don't have tickets. It's like, we can scale the fence. So they throw a little rope over, and Lucas Haas gets to the top, and Judah Friedland is trying to scale down the other side. The rope breaks, and Judah Friedland falls into a tree, conveniently saving his life.
Yeah.
It's very convenient this tree was here. Now I'm just going to drop myself a little more, and then he falls again, and he breaks his leg.
Yeah.
And has a knife stuck into it that was in his pocket.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm trapped. I can't get up. I'm injured. And Lucas Haas, who was high at the time, is like, whoa, I'm going to get you out.
I'll throw a rope down.
So he throws a rope down that Judah Friedlander is able to hold on to.
And I'll tie it to my truck.
Yeah. And his plan is to strap it to the van and then back the van up and pull Judah Friedlander over the top, which is a bad idea. But you know what?
At
least
it works.
There's something.
it works flawlessly.
It's a flawless.
And they go to the concert and they have a great time. No, that's not what happens. What does happen? The van.
Yeah, he Lucas Haas is really high.
Accidentally puts it in drive.
Yeah, and he wigs out and he's in drive.
And so he drives over the cliff.
Yeah, so he drives through the fence and then over a cliff that was on the other side of the fence.
And he starts, and the van takes a tumble
and
off
we
the
get
cliff.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like,
oh, did you?
I screen recorded it. Metallica's playing this whole time.
Dude!
It's just this really slow, cheap looking model shot of a van going down the side of a cliff, which is a funny visual. And you see all the Metallica guys being like, why is there a van falling down the cliff next to the concert? And then it just cuts to this like really poor crop of Lucas Haas sitting in the front seat of the van as like it's clearly being in post moved towards the camera. And then you just get a shot from inside the car through the windshield of Judah Friedlander directly on the ground beneath the windshield going, dude! As the van
crushes him.
It's the way he waits to scream until the camera has turned around. That does it for me.
Yeah.
I'll play it one more time.
What is going on?
It really did it for me. It's a really funny visual gag.
It was a good bit.
The model work is funny for it. Judah Friedlander's funny. Like everything about it is funny. I really enjoyed it. Metallica like has like a charity concert for Simon's death after the fact.
And then they find the serial killer.
Well, Joseph Fiennes is like becoming, as he becomes more and more, he's like any good serial killer movie. You know, as he's getting more and more into these Darwin Awards, he's becoming more like them.
Mm.
And he's taking risks. And he and Winona get stranded in the middle of nowhere, and he lights a bonfire, and it stretches to his car, and his car explodes.
Wow.
He's causing...
He must have fell asleep.
It's like Zodiac or like Nightcrawler or some bullshit, where like as they get closer to these cases, they're like start becoming more like the serial killer.
Yeah.
Except that it's about Darwin Awards, and so he just becomes dumber.
stupid.
He becomes stupid as he investigates these cases. Yeah. Which was also me watching this movie.
Yeah. Same.
I felt like I was becoming stupid. When I lost my shit at that van scene, I'm like, how far have I fallen? How far have I gone? I can't handle it.
All right.
Winona in this movie, like, please.
No more of this.
But he has a... Joseph Fiennes breaks up with Winona because they were getting attached, and then she gets sick of him getting in too deep with these Darwin Awards. So like, I don't fucking know. That's what the movie's about.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a second. Oh, I should mention he's being followed by a documentary cameraman this entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
Who occasionally will cut to his... You think that the whole movie is going to be from his camera angle, but then it like cuts away from him and shows shots of the documentary guy.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of lazy. Like, commit to your fucking bit or don't do it. if you're going to make a a mockumentary, then like commit to it being a fucking mockumentary. And like, it should all be from the cameraman perspective. Don't cut away and break the diegesis. Come on, guys. Finn Taylor, you're done. You're out.
Cult out.
But Joseph Fiennes has a revelation that, oh my God, the serial killer that I bumped into at the beginning, he had a book from a bookstore, so I need to go to this bookstore and I can find out who he is. He goes in and he's like, who bought this book? And the guy's like, oh yeah, let me pull up the credit card. And he just gives away the guy's name.
Wow. And that'll warrant.
And so Joseph Fiennes...
his face is the warrant.
He goes, my face is my warrant. So he goes to this guy's apartment and he fucking dangles from the roof with the cameraman also dangling from the roof, which like would be a funny bit if you committed to the mockumentary angle that the only way this guy could record this is by also dangling himself from a roof.
Yeah.
Then Winona shows up and she's like, be careful, don't fall. Like, don't worry, this is totally safe. And then like Tim Blake Nelson, the serial killer, inside, sees them outside and is like, ah, ha, ha, I'm going to go up to the roof and cut the rope. And then they're like, Winona, go up to the roof and don't let him cut the rope. She's like, ah, and so she runs up to the roof where she has a confrontation with Tim Blake Nelson. He's like, going to kill her. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's all about killing and the dreams and all. I don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
I'm not contributing anything.
And then, like,
I don't remember.
Joseph Fiennes, like, has the cameraman drop his camera so he can rappel up. And he grabs Tim Blake Nelson and then jumps off. So he falls down. And then he drops Tim Blake Nelson, who falls to his death and is dead as hell. Tragic. I like him as a guy.
Wow.
And then he and Winona reconcile. They kiss. The cameraman has a camera. He's like, this is a good movie I made. And I'm like, no, it's not. and he and Winona, you know, they have a loving relationship again. It's like
the
worst kind of nonsense.
The worst movie.
There's nothing to this movie. It is blank slate to the movie.
It's so terrible.
Yeah, there's truly nothing here. All right. Would not recommend.
Yeah.
It ends with a little stinger of Metallica running into Lucas Haas at the venue concert for Simon, and then Lucas Haas like lights himself on fire and is presumably burned to death.
Still burning to this day.
Yeah, it's what he's punished for. Boys, finally. But that's it. Like, Oh, and then the movie cuts to black and it has first AD Frank Capra III, who is the grandson of Frank Capra, the esteemed director of What a Wonderful Life and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and Mr. Deeds Goes to Town and all this shit. And now he's like grandson's like first ADing the Darwin Awards.
How the mighty have fallen.
I think he's doing like real stuff now.
Oh, that's good.
Let me see what Frank Capra the third is up to. He first AD'd A Few Good Men. What's he doing on the Darwin Awards, dude?
I don't know.
Get out of here.
I don't know.
Get out of here. You're done. But that's all I got.
Okay.
Stuart is laying down fully. For when, like, the movie's bad, and Winona, like, it doesn't get it. Like, I'm glad she, this is in an in back, at least into a movie for her.
Yeah.
The thing that's weird though, the next movie we talk about is like a real movie.
What movie?
We're talking about A Scanner Darkly.
Oh yeah.
A Richard Linklater, joint.
Okay.
With like a real cast and budget and ideas behind it.
Was there any year gap or was it right away?
I think it's right away. I'd have to look. Okay. But let me see. A Scanner Darkly. Yeah, they both come out in 2006.
Wow. So she was working on this and Scanner Darkly at the same time.
Yeah. And she's like has a pretty substantial role. She's on the poster for A Scanner Darkly.
Why did she have to say yes to this movie then, I wonder?
Well, I think desperate. The only way she's really getting movies right now is it's either this or a director wants her to be in the movie. Which is like Richard Linklater probably wants her to be in A Scanner Darkly. J.J. Abrams will want her to be in Star Trek. I think for the run, we're going to experience otherwise besides those, which is this, The 10, Sex and Death 101, The Last Word, The Informers, The Private Lives of Pippa Lee, Stay Cool. I'm not entirely convinced those were like directorial passion projects and, you know, studio films made by big names.
Cool.
But we do get a little water in the desert with The Scanner Darkly next week, which I'm very much looking forward to talking about.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it's a big bummer to just like suddenly segue into this. Because like she did take that gap. It's not like Fraser Trolls where they had like a more of a gradual decline. She was gradually moving a little down, and then it's just like cliff.
Plummet.
To this.
Yeah. Very sad.
But it will be nice that it's shorter than our other pits that we've covered. And we do get some fun comebacks. We do get some bits, soon.
Yeah.
But that's about all I got for the Darwin Awards. You got anything else to say?
Fuck no.
Yeah, this movie is like
unbearable.
It's a nothing burger in the sense that like if you get the McDonald's bag and you unroll it, you open up, there's nothing in there. Like you just there's no meal to even like have a bad time with.
Like you wonder if you should even go back to the McDonald's and be like, say,
"You forgot my food."
You forgot my food. But then the fact that they forgot your food, you probably don't want to go back to them because what else are they going to forget?
Yeah,
probably spit in your other burger.
Yeah. So that's the Darwin Awards. Don't watch it. Listen
Lex
to our next.
Hey Lex G, don't watch this movie. Yeah.
Don't watch the movie, but do listen to our next week's episode on A Scanner Darkly. We're joined by Cole Bradley again, coming back for the next Keanu collaboration.
Hell yeah.
And as always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. We're available on all the usual spots, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube. Come to the Reddit, our sister Vaulting, at Trollton Pod, Twitter, Instagram, trolltonpodcast@gmail.com, at Jeff W. Sweeney on Twitter for me. And special thanks always to Becca for the graphic design and Michael Van Bodegum Smith for the theme music. Have a great week, folks, and see you next time.
Fuck.